April 17th, 2024. This morning's class should be Lirufua Shelema of Yafa Bat Arlet. She should have a speedy and quick recovery. Amen. We're in Masechet Bava Kamandaf Kafhe Amud Aleph at the very beginning of the Gemara. So that's, seven lines or so from the top of the Amud. The very beginning of the Gemara. And if you recall, what we saw in our Mishnah mentioned was the mahloket that we're already familiar with, that between Hachamim and Rabbi Tarfon. What's the halakha with regards to Keren Bershut HaNizak? If an animal gores, it does what we call as mishune, but by extension, not only goring, like the Mishnah mentioned, it can kick, it might bite, it might push, any of those sorts of actions, which is what we call kavanatol lehazik, the purpose, the intention of the animal. Clearly, you behold, you see this action, it's not gaining anything from this, it's not even walking, it's just doing it with intention to damage. That's what's called keren. Now the Torah tells us keren is hayav hatzi nezek, you're obligated to pay for your animal which does any of those sorts of actions to another, half, unless it's a repeated offender. If it's the fourth time, so then it's a shor mu'ad. Now, what's the halakha with regards to keren in reshut harabim? Keren in a public area, we know the halakha is you're paying half in such a circumstance. That's clear. What about if it's keren birshut hanizak? So it's doing one of those sorts of actions, but it's not in the public area. It enters onto your land. I bring my dog onto your property and it damages your cat. Well, what's the halakha in such a circumstance? On the one hand, hachamim say hatzi nezek. The Torah says half damage. Half damage means half damage means half damage. That's all you're paying. The Bitarfon, in contrast, says, no, we need to be a little bit creative over here. The concept, according to Bitarfon, is that you pay 100% in Reshut HaNizak. Where'd he come up with that? Well, he derives it from a Kal Vachomer. He says, well, if on the one hand I'm to compare Keren to Regel and Shin, on the other hand, so I'll say in the public area, Regel and Shin, trampling or doing damage for the benefit of the animal, eating, scratching, something of that sort, what's the halakha if it's in a public area? Zero payment. And Keren, in contrast, is half. You see, Keren is more severe. That's stage one. Keren is more severe than Regel and Shin. Now let's go to the private area. Private area, my property, you bring your animal on and it's eating or it's trampling. What's your liability? 100%. Well, you see that Regel and Shin, which we saw as the less severe circumstances, are 100% when it's in Reshut HaNizak. Clearly, Keren should be 100% as well. That's Rabbi Tarfon's claim. The Hachamim's response is this famous statement, which we're going to read about now in the Gemara again. It's dayo lebamin hadin lihiyot kenidon. You can't derive to the case which is being learnt from the case which is being taught more than the case being taught. What does that mean? I'm trying to compare keren birshut rabim, keren in the public area where it's half, to keren in reshut hanizak. Well, I might be able to derive that it's half as well. I can't go above and beyond and claim that it's more than the case which you're learning from. The case I'm learning from is in public area, half. It's a private area. I can't go beyond that. Dayo. I say enough. I cap it at what the case which is teaching is at. What's it at? Half. I can't say, well, it's even more in Reshut HaNizak. At all. Say it's equivalent. Says the Gemara, that's where it's coming right now. The Torah talks about paying half nezek. The Torah doesn't talk about half nezek in Reshut HaNizak. It says half nezek. Yes, absolutely. That's what the Torah says. That you pay half, twice, it says. That's the Torah tells me so. We're not deriving it from our own logic. We know Regel and Shen 100%. However, Bistei Acher, only if it's in a private area. That's it. There's no derivation. There's no logic that's being applied. Says the Gemara, Verbi Tarfon, this second opinion, we presented him as the first, who derives from, again, a Kal Vachomer, that the halakha is that Keren Bershut HaNizak is Nezek Shalem 100%. Let le dayo? Question mark. Does he not have this concept, which again is known as dayo? Dai means enough. The enough concept, the idea that you don't learn more in the case which is being taught from the case that is teaching. Vehadayo de oraitahu, isn't the concept of, again, dayo. Dayo is short for dayo leba min hadin hiyot kenidon. It's enough for the thing which is being learned from logic to be like the thing which is teaching it. Isn't it a biblical precept? Isn't this a din from the Torah? How so? Ditanya, we have a beraita which teaches this. Midin kal vachomer kesav. The beraita asks, how do you have and where do you find? You see, when we have the 13 midot shatorah nidreshet by him, we say it in the mornings, 13 ways in which we interpret the Torah, most of them are not found in the Torah. We have a tradition. This is how we explain pesukim in the Torah. Two of them, one of them being kal vachomer, the rabbis attribute to being in the pasuk. Where do you see kal vachomer in the pasuk? And by extension, where do you see the laws of kal vachomer in the pasuk? It goes from the following: Vayomer Adonai Moshe ve'aviha yarok yarak befanea halotikalem shivat yamim. So the pasuk again is in the context of Miriam at the very end of Parashat Be'alotecha. Miriam, together with Aharon, spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe. And as a result, Miriam is white with leprosy. As a result, we don't really know what to do with her. God turns to Moshe and instructs. She should be out of the camp like any other Misora. We read about it last week. We'll read about this week in the Parasha. Leave her outside of the camp for a week. And God doesn't suffice with just saying that. He gives the logic. He says, Ve'avia yarok yarak befanea. What if her father put her down? What if her father spit in her face? Wouldn't she tikalim shivat yamim? Wouldn't any person hide for 7 days? So all the more so, and certainly it's so as well, with regards to, so to speak, God spitting in her face, giving her the leprosy. Wait a second. Her father, she would hide away 7 days. Now let me transfer that over to God. Kal vachomer, 7 days or more than 7 days? Says the Gemara, again, the Beraita says, Midin kal vachomer ketzad, question mark. Vayomer Adonai Moshe ve'avia yarok yarak befanea lo tikalem shivat yamim. Kal vachomer la shechina, 14 yom. Shouldn't we say that we make a kal vachomer if the woman, if any person would hide if their father embarrassed them for 7 days? All the more so, kal vachomer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to God, to the Shekhinah, that it should be 14 days. We'll come back to that number in a moment.
This is proving that it should stay.
Stays at 7, exactly. And Hatzi Nezek against Rabbi Tarfon, exactly. Ela dayo leba min hadin lihiyot kenidon, period. That's the end of the Beraita. So the Beraita explicitly derives, this concept does, you don't learn the case which is being learnt from another case to be greater than the case it's being taught from. Okay, that's what the Gemara is challenging Rabbi Tarfon with.
Gemara is challenging Rabbi Tarfon.
The Beraita happens to be in the context of where do we learn Kal Vachomer, and while teaching where do we learn Kal Vachomer, the Beraita explains there's laws to Kal Vachomer. Also, Dayo the Bami Madin
Liyot. So, really, in a sense, this Beraita is
against Rabbi Tarfon. Just as significant. It's part of the details and the methodology of Kal Vachomer.
And it's
the very pasuk which teaches us Kal Vachomer in the Torah. Where did we come up with this number 14? Why? Maybe it's 140. Maybe it's 8. Maybe it's...
Why double?
So Tosafot gives two suggestions. Again, you might just say, we're throwing that out. Double. At least double. Something like that. Tosafot gives two suggestions. First suggestion of Tosafot is based on the Gemara Masechet Nidan Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara over there, in a physical way, imagines and understands the rabbis attribute certain physical, psychological features that we have. 5 come from our fathers, 5 come from our mother, and 10 come from God. They kind of spell out 20 attributes of human beings. 5 from mother, 5 from father, 10 from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the color of your eyes and skin and all that sort of business. That's what the Gemara over there does. But you're listening? 5 from your mother, 5 from your father, 10 from God. It means, in terms of who you are physically, who you are as a person, you're double from God as you are from your father. So the pasuk says, if a father embarrassed her, she'd be 7 days. So who has double stake of her father in her? It's God. That's how we got to 14. Tosafot gives another explanation and says that hisgir. Hisgir are the words that we're going to, what happened? Hisgir means,
20. What? 5 to 20, maybe. If you said, I said the parents, you double your parents.
It's only if they're aviha yarok yarak. What's the pasuk? Pasuk says if her father embarrassed. So it's equal. It's the two parents are equal to God. It's 5 to 10. That's the way the Gemara does it. Anyway.
Mathematicians.
That's better than me. Anyway, the second explanation, Tosafot, is that Hesgir. Hesgir is a reference to what a Mitzorah needs to do. He locks himself off. In Hesgir Pachot, says Tosafot, Mishiva Yamim. The principle is a Mitzorah will never. He goes out of the camp and all of a sudden, oof. Overnight, I'm better. You have to wait a full 7 days. The principle is 7 days is the bare minimum with regards to hisgir, with regards to being locked out as a misorah. Well, if that's the case, I need to take it from 7 and bump it up something. I can't go from 7 to 8. There's no such thing as 1. No such thing as 2. The only number we deal with when it comes to misorah, being locked out of the camp, is 7. So as a result, I went 7 and another 7 in order to say that God should be 14. That's the technical aspect in terms of the number 14. But the Gemara's question is strong. Turns the Gemara to Rabbi Tafon, says Rabbi Tafon, how did you not have the concept of Dayo? The very Beraita which teaches us the concept of Kal Vachomer in the Torah is utilizing, it seems, this principle of Dayo. Answers the Gemara, Kilet le Dayo hecha de mafrich Kal Vachomer. Hecha de la mafrich Kal Vachomer it le Dayo. We'll first translate the words and then continue as he elaborates. Mafrich, parich, means to break, right? Like avodat parich was what the Egyptians did to Bnei Israel. Back-breaking labor. A pircha in the Gemara means a strong question. Mafrich, as a result, means to break. So the statement of Rabbi Tafon goes as follows. It says, listen, if the Kal Vachomer will stand and teach me something, then I'm happy to accept Dayo. In other words, if I'm learning from the Kal Vachomer something that I wouldn't have known already, and you want to cap it, I'll accept. For example, I'm already going ahead. In the context of God and Miriam, how many days should she be out of the camp when she got Sara'at from God? Maybe 0. I don't know. Who said she should have any? So the Kal Vachomer says, well, if from her father she'd have 7, now I learned something from that. From God, she has 7. Had you not had the Kal Vachomer, what would you have said? I have no idea. Maybe she has 0 from God. The Kal Vachomer taught me something. I'm willing to cap it. I'm willing to cap it as long as I hit baseline. He says, that's in contrast to our Gemara, to our issue. How much does a short-term owner need to pay? If it's Bereshut Rabim, half. If it's Bereshut Yachid, half. The Kal Vachomer didn't teach me that. I knew that anyway. So I now have a Kal Vachomer which I can apply. I don't cap it then. I only will cap it if the Kal Vachomer is teaching me something. I used logic to learn something. I'll draw a line. But I wouldn't have been able to use this Kal Vachomer if I did a Dayo business over here. After all, you Hachamim, you say no Kal Vachomer. You effectively threw out the Kal Vachomer. I'm not willing to throw out the Kal Vachomer. That's his concept. So again, read it in the Gemara, and we'll reiterate it in a moment. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Tafon would answer, Ki let le en lo. When does he not have Dayo, this concept of capping it, of stopping it as the thing which is being learned is no greater than the thing which is teaching, Hecha de mafrich Kal Vachomer. Where the logic will be knocked out, where you won't be able to learn anything as a result of capping things. If alternatively you're learning something from the Kal Vachomer, you're just quote unquote not going the whole way, itle dayo, he's willing to cap it. Here's how he speaks it out. I mean, that might be the response of the Hachamim, but you need proof for that. Who said?
Same way of saying
I have a pasuk for hatzi which doesn't distinguish. I have no pasuk, we think, for tzara'at. So that's what we're going to go with. Says the Gemara, the Hachamim will respond, we do have a pasuk. Says the Gemara, hatam, meaning over there, by the case of Miriam and the tzara'at, shiv'a de shechina la kitibe. It never says that you get 7 days when, quote-unquote, God embarrasses you, meaning tzara'at. It never says that at all. I would not have known, using Jesse's words, baseline, that you're 7. Ata Kal Vachomer, the Kal Vachomer comes, ayete arbesar. The Kal Vachomer would jump it all the way up to 14. Dayo says, no, push it down to baseline. Ata dayo apik shiv'a ve'oke shiv'a. The dayo principle comes, apik shiv'a, takes out 7 days, the 7 additional, ve'oke, and it establishes it, it stands it at 7. That's it.
However, that's in contrast to our case. Aval hacha, hacha means here, by the short term, hatzi nezek ketiv. It means the Torah says a short term pays half. Ben b'reshut rabim, ben b'reshut nizak. I'm paying half. I know that. Without a kal vachomer, I don't need any logic. I open Pesukim in the Torah, Shemot, Perek, Kaf, Aleph, and I see a kal vachomer. I see the halacha is short term pays half. Okay, now I have a kal vachomer. Listen to this. Look at how my thumb spins on this. If in b'reshut rabim, it pays half, and kid and shin and regel pay zero, so in b'reshut nizak, where shin and regel pay whole, certainly you pay whole, then you're going to cap it? What do you mean you're going to cap it? Then you didn't listen to my kal vachomer at all. V'ata kal vachomer v'ayeteh hatzi nezik aharina. The kal vachomer, at the very least, is being utilized. It's teaching something. V'na'asa nezik shalim, and it fills it out to 100% liability. In short, Rabbi Tarfon's response to the Chachamim is
required. He doesn't follow that principle.
If I'm going to lose the kal vachomer,
the principle is not going to be
correct. Correct. In short, if I'm going to lose the kal vachomer and learn nothing based on the logic, I'll throw away that principle known as dayot. But Miriam's case, you would be throwing away the kal vachomer, right? In other words, in Miriam's case, I'll throw away the extra days, right? If in Miriam's case, without kal vachomer, I would say, how much do you get for tzara'at of God? Zero. Kal vachomer, at the very least, gives me seven. Because that sarat is not the quote-unquote God-zapping sarat. No, that's an important point that you're raising, right? In other words, it says Eli Bogan, he says, you have parashat Mesoraya, parashat Tazria. What do you mean? We have whole parashot about how to deal with sarat. You go out, we know all this. That's not when God zapped you. It's not to say that sarat is not inflicted to a certain extent by God, but it's not a direct infliction, so to speak, embarrassment from God. Maybe that's, after all, Moshe Rabbeinu, just his hand is sarat. Did he have to? He didn't have to distance himself at all. So we don't know, per se, when it's, so to speak, the direct punishment from God that you get anything. That's what the kal vachomer is utilized for. You would have assumed zero, so the kal vachomer therefore bumps me up to seven, and says Rabbi Tarfon, I'll take the seven, and I'll suffice with that, I'll take dayo. If the kal vachomer would bring me nothing, because I would have known half already, but I have a logic to push it higher, I'm going to accept that logic, otherwise I'm not utilizing the logic of kal vachomer. That's the way Rabbi Tarfon responds. Says the Gemara, idarashta, I'm sorry, finishing the comment, vayiteh hatzi nezik aharina v'na'asa nezik shalem, idarashta, dayo ifrich le kal vachomer, period. And were you to accept dayo in the case of hatzi nezek of short time, you would lose the kal vachomer, the logic entirely. Right, so that's the back and forth. So again, the Chachamim say dayo. Rabbi Tarfon says, beautiful dayo, but only when I'm using the kal vachomer. If the dayo is mafrich le kal vachomer, if the dayo knocks it out, I'm not accepting your dayo. How did the Chachamim? It's a nice claim of Rabbi Tarfon. Very nice. I hear your logic. You're going to say that we don't derive something from a logic which is there for the taking? Can't be. Chachamim, how do you respond? So the Chachamim, along the lines of Eli and Nathan, but they need a pasuk for it, they're going to argue that even by God, so to speak, zapping you with sarat, you would have known without kal vachomer seven as well. Which means to say you would have known seven. So the kal vachomer over here, because of dayo, is knocking it down. That's actually what's happening. That's their response to the Rabbi Tarfon. The Rabbanan, it's going to get a little bit technical over here. I just warn you already, it's a shame, but the next amud and a half is technical. That's what's going to happen for the next several lines. And then as we go ahead, I'm already, this is my warning, okay? And then we're going to go into Tumah and Tahara business, which everybody here loves very much. I know that I have evidence that we love Tumah and Tahara in this class, because when we learned it in Rosh Hashanah, everybody checked out immediately. Anyway, that's what we're going to do a little bit. So we got about a daf and a half, maybe Chol HaMoed classes. We got it all in, like hour and a half classes. Anyway, says the Gemara, but that's what's to come a little bit over here. You need to know it as well. Well, Rabbanan, Shiva'ad Shechina Ketibeh. Says the Chachamim, no, you actually have a separate pasuk which tells us, without kal vachomer, without logic, that you would have known anyway, seven. That, so to speak, if God embarrasses you, if he zaps you with the sarat, you have a seven-day close out outside of the camp. How so? Because the pasuk says separately, tisagir shivat yamin. She should be closed out for 7 days. Also, that being the case, tisagir shivat yamin is our baseline. Our baseline was established without kal vachomer, as the suggestion of the Chachamim. V'Rabbi Tarfon, how does he explain that? His whole claim was you wouldn't have known anything. Hahu tisagir de darshinan dayohu. Says Rabbi Tarfon, no, silly Chachamim, that's not what it means. Tisagir is the concept of dayo, meaning your understanding, the pasuk says, you have 7 days lockout as independent of the kal vachomer. Come on, Chachamim, read the pasuk. God speaks out the logic. He says, if the father were to spit in her face, she'd be out for 7 days. Therefore, she's out for 7 days from God. Those words, therefore, that's teaching us the principle. That's the dayo. That's not the independent principle. The Rabbanan, Ketib Kera Harina, say the Chachamim, no, you have a separate pasuk as well. Vatisagir Miriam Yavir, another pasuk which says that Miriam is locked out for 7 days. Rabbi Tarfon, Hahuda Afil Ba'amad Al Shinan Dayo, says Rabbi Tarfon, that separate pasuk that you have, Chachamim, is to teach us a general principle to all cases. What do you mean, the general principle? That you always say Dayo. What do you mean? Why would you say it only over here as opposed to other cases? You maybe would have said, after all, Moshe Rabbeinu prayed to God over here. Kel na refa na la. He prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, begging him for mercy, that he forgive Miriam. Maybe that's why Miriam, quote unquote, got the easy way out. In general, you wouldn't say dayo. You'd say you get the 14 days. You'd say we don't cap anything based on any of these sorts of logical limitations. No, you wouldn't say that. Over here, it's only because of Moshe, the kabod of Moshe, that God was listening to him. That's why he capped it at seven. That's why I have additional pasuk that says, Vatisager Miriam, to teach you, there's a principle which applies in all cases. Effectively then, when all the dust settles, we're left with this machloka between the Bitarfon and Chachamim. The principle of the matter, though, is that everybody agrees to this concept known as Dayo. Everybody, both Chachamim and even Bitarfon. The question, Dayo means I stop, I cap it. So the difference between the Bitarfon and Chachamim is, in a case where I won't be using the logic of Kal Vachomer, because of Dayo, i.e. our case of Hatzi Nezek, I already know you pay half for a short time. Do I dispense of this law of capping? Or do I apply it? I go above and beyond. Do I knock out that law? Rabbi Tarfon says you knock out that law so that you apply the logic. Chachamim disagree. That's where we're at right now. What the Gemara will now launch into is, wait a second, there's another opinion. There's an opinion who says at all costs, we never say Dayo.
Interesting thought, it might be totally off the rails, but I
want
to pick it up anyway.
No, that's good.
Could we use the laws of Nidah as an example? Because a woman, she has to wait till she's 100% clean, and then she waits a period of time.
Yeah.
So wouldn't that be interesting? I would think one of the Chachamim would do that spending longer than 7 days would say, so first,
it's nice, and it's a good introduction for the next few lines here in the Gemara, but I'll tell you the mistake you're making. So Alan asked the following question. He says, why don't we enter into this mix? A Nidah needs to wait until she's fully cleansed. So too, Miriam needs to go out until she's fully cleansed, something along those lines. The answer to that question is we don't compare easily one Tumah to another Tumah, which is really what we're coming to right now. There are peculiar, specific laws to each domain of Tumah and Tahara. We barely ever compare them. We're about to get into something in which we're discussing, should we compare this, should we not compare this? But that's the answer to your question, which really leads us into this. Yes, Jeff?
Why is the 5-5-10, that Hashem being double, stronger than Hashem is saying the Father, it should be equal? So it should be 5-5-5, in a sense. But Hashem said it straight out.
Hashem says it's equal to the Father. What would I have thought to say had God not said that? That it's double.
Why do you get that 5-5-5?
No, so again, the 5-5-10 is on what you would have said. Because the Gemara in Masech, I understand what you're saying. I don't know where the Gemara Masech Nida and Daf, what is it? Lamed Aleph. The Gemara over there is dealing with different physical attributes. Where they know that, they know from science, they know from tradition or whatever. That's what they're describing. They're describing actual stuff. The color of your eye comes from him. And then the color of your skin comes from her, etc., etc. So they're dealing with it in that respect. The halakha in the Torah is not per se going to redetermine that and tell you, you know, realign that it's come from different places. But a point taken. You have to argue that's some sort of tradition that they had over there or scientific knowledge that they were working with. All right, says the Gemara onward, Amar le Rav Papa le Abaye. So again, we're going to get into a technical zone, which we'll introduce in just a moment. But first and foremost, let's read the introductory sentence. Introductory sentence goes like this, Veha haitana de la darish dayo, ve'af al gav de la mafrich kal vachomer. He says, isn't there the next opinion, Tana means a rabbi from the time of the Mishnah Beraita, who doesn't have the concept of dayo, even though it's not mafrich kal vachomer? What does that mean, even though it's not mafrich kal vachomer? Again, we just suggested that the pasuk in the Torah by Miriam teaches us that provided that I'm using a kal vachomer, I'm deriving something. What did Rabbi Tafon say? I'm deriving the 7 days. I would have said zero otherwise. Provided that I'm learning something, I accept capping it off. He says there's an opinion who disagrees with that. Now that's going to be a jarring, very shocking opinion. What do you mean? It's going to go against Pesukim in the Torah, what we're about to read, right? So what we're about to read, we're going to have to take it all in, see how we find that this opinion is as such. And we're going to say, wait a second. So then how does he read the passage with regards to Miriam? Didn't God cap it over there? Isn't that what's happening? Don't you accept a certain capping? But this opinion, it seems to have no capping ever. Now, the context within which this next beraita is mentioned is the following. A few concepts we're familiar with, a few not. Let's try to set forth a bunch of the principles in the initial stages. There are different types of tuma and tahara, as Alan introduced to us. With regards to men, we talk about, generally speaking, two major ones with regards to bodily emissions. There's something called Baal Keri, and there's something called Zav. Those are different. Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Masechet Nida that describes the difference. I can't really tell you. The Gemara has a description of what comes out in each of those cases. Some sort of bodily emission in each of them. Baal Keri is easy to understand. That means a seminal emission. What's a Zav exactly? What's coming out? Not exactly sure. Some other sort of emission. Now, these two types of things that come out of a body of a man bring forth different types of Tum'ah to a man. Different laws with regards to Tum'ah. When you're a Baal Keri, for example, the halachot are less severe than when you're a Zav. We'll read about them in a moment. But a Baal Keri, the only time that the Tum'ah of a person is imparted from touching it is if they directly, literally, touch it. If a person touches the keri, they now have tumat keri. If they carry something that has the keri on it, a person has a seminal emission onto his sheets, the other person doesn't touch it, they pick up the sheets. That's called masa. There's no tumah that's imparted to them. That's masa only applies to zav. Okay, do we have that distinction down? So again, maga means touching applies to baal keri or keri when you touch it, as opposed to zav is maga umasa, both touching and carrying. That much we need to have in mind in the initial stage over here. So we already can say if we're going to scale which one's more hamur, what's the kal and what's the homer. Baal keri is kal and zav is hamur, is the homer. One is less severe than the other. Okay, so let's see what we're doing over here in terms of this beraita. Ditanya, as the beraita says, keri bizav. What if a person emits their zav? They're in that state of being where they're impure because they had a type of emission known as zav, but now they emit what's called keri. They have a seminal emission. Minayin. How do we know? How do we know what? If you look at Rashi, Rashi explains what we're talking about. Keri bezav minayin. Rashi is maybe 15 lines from the top. Keri shel zav minayin shetehe hatipa mitama bemaga ubemasa ketipa shel zov.
If you understand what just happened over here, let's review. If a person is pure and they have a seminal emission, I'm sorry to be so graphic, it's just the reality over here in the sugya, and a person has a seminal emission, the only time another person or they become tamif is by touching that keri, by touching the seminal emission. What if the person who emits the semen is already a zav? So the emission is not the liquid, the fluid of ziva. It's the semen, which a person who, if they're pure, emits it, and you touch it, you become tameh only by touching it. What about now, if you're a zav already, and you emit keri, does the person who picks it up as well, picks up the sheets, become tameh? The answer is yes. That's a hidush. Do you understand? We're mixing and matching laws. They become tameh tumat keri by just picking up keri. Unprecedented. We've never heard of such a thing. You're not a zav. Is I preface? I said I don't know. Some sort of emission, some other discharge. A zav is a person. A ziva is the discharge. So, well, again, generally speaking, the only way a person will get that tum'ah from the keri is if they touch it. Now that it came forth from a person who's already a zav, the halakha we're about to learn is they even get it by masa, by carrying. They picked up the sheets that have the keri.
The keri that's holding the keri.
Yes, masa. I'm saying sheets for the tomato.
Why would you not?
Because I'm not picking up ziva. I'm picking up keri.
Right, it's part of it.
So if the hair, they're a zav, and the hair fell off on the bed, you would say there's tumat masa? No, you would only... So it says the beraita here, detanya, keri bezav, a zav makes a keri. How do you know, minayin, that there's tumat, not only maga, which means touching, but masa, which means carrying? I'm trying my best here to simplify. Vidinu, says the Gemara, din. And again, din, like in onshin min hadin, means logic. Like dayolaba min hadin, as we can make this logical deduction. How so? Tahor betahor, tameh betameh, tameh betahor enodin, sheyehe tameh betameh. So says the Gemara, we're going to make a kalva homer over here. So let's look at Rashi over here. Excuse me, I skipped a word over here. Vidinhu ma tahor betahor tameh. So if you look at Rashi, uma rok shehu tahor beadam tahor have tameh umetameh bemasa beadam tameh kigon zav. So again, the Tanya, the Beraita goes like this. If a tahor person who's already pure and they spit, which is also pure, there's no issue at all, yeah, right? If a pure person spits, that's called tahor betahor, rok shehu tahor beadam tahor, yes? Have tameh umetameh bemasa beadam tameh. If a impure person spits, meaning something comes out of their mouth, and they are a zav, what would the halakha be when the impure person spits the tum'ah? The halakha is kigon zav, v'chiyaro kazav betahor, demashma mashabiyat ha-tahor. The halakha is if a person is a zav, and he spits out of his mouth, which again, I kind of gave you a moment ago, and I said it's not so. The Gemara says if they spit, something comes out of their body, and they're tameh, even though the thing that came out is tahor, it becomes a carrier of tumah to the extent that I'm a zav lo aleinu, I spit onto this, and you pick this up, what's your status now? Tameh. Good. So let's read that again. Dinu, ma tahor betahor, if the tahor is spitting something that is tahor, tameh betameh, so in a situation when the tameh person spits it out, becomes tameh, tameh betahor enodin sheyehe tameh betameh. So the Gemara says, is it not therefore logical that if I'm dealing with a person who's already impure, he's a zav, and what's coming out of him? Something which is impure.
Isn't that a kal vachomer? That certainly it should be tum'at masa as well. Let's review it outside of the words in the Gemara. If a person who is a zav spit in and of itself is tahor. If me, who's tahor, I hope right now, spit, tahor. So the thing that comes out of my mouth is not defined as tameh. I'm tahor. The thing that came out of my mouth is tahor as well. If I'm tameh, however, the thing that comes out of my mouth has a status of tum'ah. Good. Even though in and of itself, it's not tameh.
Why not?
When I spit, it's not tameh.
Even if you're
a no. I'm spitting. Is my spit tameh? No, Baruch Hashem, you consider me tahor. Good. So, if a person's tameh and they're spitting, is the spit in and of itself tameh? It's not. It's tameh because it came from a tameh person, yes? So now, if the zav, who was the tameh person, is not spitting, which is tahor, but he's rather emitting semen, which is tameh, so certainly the status of that semen should be like the spit, even though in general we say when the keri comes out, because it's a kal vachomer. Generally speaking, when keri comes out, we say you only become tameh if you touch it, not if you carry it. But now that it's coming from a zav, as everybody wanted to say, we're logically saying, and a zav who has something pure come out of them, not keri, but spit, what's the status? It becomes so tameh that even masa, even carrying it makes a person tameh. So certainly the keri, which comes out of a zav, is going to have a tumat maga as well. That's the suggestion of the Gemara. So we'll have to continue with this tomorrow. This is the beginning of where we're getting to a statement in the Beraita, which is not going to accept Dayo at all. Who doesn't have Dayo at all? Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.